Good. 24/7 coverage still of the Royal Baby. We're in the 41-gun salute right now.
Only 41?
Right.
Out of 62. They're doing a 62-gun salute.
Okay. All right. Jackie and I were just discussing at the top of the hour, Jim, that this is supposed to be a girl story.
Computer says no.
Not these two girls. We don't care. I don't understand why I'm required to care. I don't. At any rate, it is a boy. The scenes of jubilation outside Buckingham Palace, 8 pounds, 6 ounces, I guess I'm
required.
Are
you? Why are you...
4:24 p.m. time of... Okay, just so I'm done with that now. I apparently did not, yesterday morning during the show, did not announce the dilation enough for some people.
Or the crowning.
Right.
Get it?
I see.
Because there wasn't any, because...
All right.
How, do we know this?
And do we know if the umbilical cord was tied in a Windsor knot or no? Because that was Mo Rocca's joke. Okay.
Rocca.
Exactly.
Rocca.
Right. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com coming up. John Fugelsang on a Tuesday. What's
Tuesdays
not
with Tuesday. Tuesdays with Tuesday.
What's not random and wonderful about that? All right. Who else is calling bull on this George Zimmerman saving people from a crash? Well, what a timely and delightful PR move.
Did he bump the truck accidentally and roll it on its back?
What?
Are you kidding me? I'm Superman.
Timing, right? In need of a little PR boost.
Less than a mile away from where he murdered Trayvon.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Self-defense.
Rescued a family who was trapped in an overturned vehicle?
What a guy.
How many people think his lawyer is probably the one that overturned the vehicle? No. George, get out there. Hurry. Hurry. Do something heroic. God. Really? Oh, come on. Here he is, the chipmunk like Mark O'Meara.
I think someone going through what he's gone through and with the reaction to this verdict to still maintain his principle of just being a guy who's going to help out people in need, I think that is awesome.
That is just so awesome.
It's so awesome that he just happened to be there with the car overturned. And it's so awesome. He's such a good guy. And he didn't shoot anybody this time.
I'm sorry. Did he just say everything George has gone through?
George.
Yeah, he's been through so
Georgie,
much.
Georgie, he's been through so much. He's eaten so many cheeseburgers.
He has. He's a fat
that guy
of goo
continues
now.
To irritate the bejesus out of
who,
me.
Who, Mark O'Meara or George Zimmerman?
Well, both of them, but Mark O'Meara.
All right.
And just the kind of guy he is to go, you know, save someone in a truck that he overturned himself. Oops, I said too much.
And didn't they also put the story out that, he didn't even mention it to his lawyers, his heroics.
Right.
No, it just did happen to watch.
That's the way he is.
That's just the kind of guy he is.
That's
just
the kind of
helper.
Guy he is. He just didn't even tell us.
God.
Okay, can I hear the actual Mark O'Meara again?
Yeah.
Jim's visual distracts me.
I think someone going through what he's gone through and with the reaction to this verdict to still maintain his principle of just being a guy who's going to help out people in need, I think that is awesome.
Just a guy. Just an awesome guy. Helping out people. That's what he does. He's a helper.
Seriously?
When he's not shooting people in the chest.
Have you ever heard of something like this happening? I mean, really? It's just so timely.
Huh.
It's almost incredible, Jim.
Have we seen a police report? Do we know that this actually happened?
Oh, my God.
Happened?
That is going to be the most hilarious thing ever.
Interesting.
If somehow it was a setup. It's probably like a professional stunt driver. Okay, roll the car. And I'll cue George.
Good. All right.
Probably like O'Meara's like, okay. He has like a wrist thing. Go, George, go. Oh, I look at
run
that.
Run like the wind.
Oh,
run, George,
see?
Run.
You've misjudged.
Okay, you're winded, so don't run. It's
don't
okay.
Run.
Just walk slowly.
Don't run.
I don't want you to hurt yourself.
That would have taken a while.
Here, put some ketchup on the guy's head. Make it look like a real accident. Take your time, George. It's okay. No hurry.
It's real good what you did, George. Good job.
Good what he did, George. It's real good. Just the kind of guy he is.
He's awesome, right?
Yeah. Oh, he's the best.
He's awesome.
When he's not shooting teenagers in the chest and leaving them overnight.
Right. Okay. All right. I seriously. Because a lot of times when you go, well, that's just unbelievable, it's because it's generally unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'd
like to see the police report.
You know, next time I step in something. newsbusters catch me doing something. Let's create a false, like something.
Oh, I think they're right? Probably going to post the discussion we're having right now.
Don't you think?
Yes.
All right.
Liberals think that there's a conspiracy.
Tim, you're a hypochondriac. Have a fake something that I can rescue you from. Let's do a medical rescue right here on the show. Oh, and then I saved Jim Ward's life. Right after I said the thing that...
Fake a heart attack and Jim will give you CPR.
Okay. Jim would do that anyway, just to be pervy. Okay. Excuse me?
Waka, 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 waka.
What? Isn't that how they train you to do it?
Yeah. Waka, waka, waka.
I'm just going to ask a question, too. Was this a white family by any chance that he rescued? Because I'm just saying, if I was a black person and the car rolled over, I'd be like,
no, thanks.
No,
no,
no, no. I'm good.
No, we're fine. We're good.
Good.
We like it this way.
I meant to do this. Go away. Okay. All right. Sorry. Sean Hannity with some unkind thoughts about the president regarding this whole Trayvon situation.
Yes.
Oh. You know, the politician who is, you know, who's quick to stick his nose in all this first.
Uh-huh.
You know, the police acted stupidly. You know, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. You know, now the president say Trayvon could have been me 35 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a particularly helpful comment. Is that the president's admitting that, well, I guess because what? He was part of the Choom gang and he smoked pot and he did a little blow? I'm not sure how to interpret that because we know that Trayvon had been smoking pot that night. I'm not sure what that means.
You might want to discuss this with George W. Bush
before
you start mouthing off about people who do blow and pot.
That seemed just like a particularly circuitous way of just getting that part in.
Yeah, exactly.
The president. Admitted in his book that he...
Oh, well, it could have been Trayvon. All it means is a drug addict.
That's a leap.
Okay, Karen in Wyoming, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Karen.
Good morning. I love your show. Watch
Thank
it
you.
Every day
Thank
that
you.
I can. Anyway, I just wanted to say I heard
I
that
would like
thing.
A written excuse on the days that you cannot watch it, if you don't mind.
I'll be at work. I will get my boss to send you a fax. Okay, as far as that tape of George Zimmerman helping, all he did was pull over and call 911. You can even hear on the tape that he's saying they are getting them out, and he's not the first to call 911.
Oh, I see.
Oh, my
I
God.
See. And,
okay,
that, and Deputy Dog is usually so on the case, isn't he?
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, I'm sure he went looking for someone to help after.
Yeah. So what load of fertilizer was Mark O'Mara spreading there?
That's the kind of guy he is. The people were there, and they called 911, and he said, I'm going to do it, too. And that's just the kind of guy George is. He dialed 911. Not everyone can do that. It's hard to find those numbers on your keypad sometimes.
He's a Martin Short character.
It's so awesome that he can find those numbers on his keypad.
God. And what did 911 tell him to do? Yeah, we don't need you to help.
We don't need you to help.
No, don't.
Don't go away. Don't move them. They've had a neck injury.
Go!
Look at George.
He's just a helper. That's what he does. He helps. Helps people who haven't yet broken their necks to break their necks for them. That's just the kind of guy he is.
He's like pulling people out of the crash by the head. No. It's okay, I got to...
I smell gasoline. Hey, anyone need a light?
I think I'll have a smoke. Oh, now what's happened?
That's our George. That's just the kind of guy he is.
I'm just picturing me so desperate for like some sort of PR miracle that he's pulling crash victims.
Look what I did! Look what I did!
It's good what you did, George.
It's real good. We love TV night, George.
It's in every telling, Mark O'Mara's story gets more heroic. And then there was a car coming, and George blocked it with his body. He bounced off his manly chest.
His considerable body.
Yeah, that's like a bouncy house.
Yeah.
It's like a human bouncy house. And then George kept the children entertained by letting them bounce.
One day when the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man couldn't make it to work, George was there. That's the kind of guy he is.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Okay.
Oh, God.
All right. I need to take a break. I've cracked myself up too much.
Uh-oh.
All right. I just love that's like going to be an ongoing thing is George Zimmerman further injuring people that have already been injured in an effort to help and, create
when,
some sort
when
of hero
that plane
story.
Crashed in San Francisco, George was there in the tail section to just
right.
take the brunt of the impact. Well, of course, he caused the crash, too, because the tail heavy. And it was, but that's not the point. The point was George was there to save people by sitting on their heads. No, not sitting on their
he
head.
He would be the person that would kill the people that survived with
yes.
emergency vehicles and such.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Although, through the emergency vehicles I support, I guess, she was in like she was hidden in some foam. But
I understand that when that plane crashed in the Everglades many years ago, George was the one that steered the alligators to the survivors.
Yes, yes.
Oh, there's some more people over here. Maybe they need a ride
a
to the
ride.
Other side of the...
An alligator oh. ride?
Hey, he wants to go on the alligator ride. What? What? What'd I do? What?
George is just so hapless.
That's just the kind of guy George is. When people need transportation
right.
to the water, he gets some alligators.
We are just so
Ow.
In trouble for
there
this entire
leg.
Segment. You know what?
We
We're just working through our emotion from all these weeks. Okay.
Why don't we just go ahead and send this to Newsbusters?
All righty. Okie dokie. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show now with free cat toys.
Yeah.
Who got free cat toys this morning?
Yay.
Yay. Jazz and Boots got free cat toys.
Jim got a cat in a bag.
Cat in a bag.
And I got a laser pointer.
Yeah, exactly. Because of
a former
ex's cat.
Ex's with cats.
Oh, just clearing out all this clearance
yeah,
sale,
clear
all the old
sale.
Cat toys.
A fire
Everything
sale.
Must go.
It's like, what's this doing here? Here, it's your lucky day.
Because we know how much you love cats.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
More in George news?
I don't know. Should I get cats to go with these cat toys? No, I'll just give them to Chris and Jim. Cat people. Official cat people of the show.
That's right.
All right. I guess the Stephanie Miller Show is going to need to apologize. Well, let's just apologize for that entire last segment. Stephanie Miller Show has no actual information that George Zimmerman was responsible for many of those plane crash survivors getting eaten by alligators in the Everglades many years ago. He's just a helper. He likes to help out in emergency situations. And we have no information that he thought maybe some of the survivors needed to ride to shore. And directed the alligators to them. We have no information.
He said Wally Gator.
Who wants to go on the alligator ride?
We are many of the many people calling bull this rescue story.
Uh-huh.
And
it turns out he didn't really rescue anybody.
Right.
He called 911
like
after a lot
would.
Of other
yeah.
people called 911.
Well, what a timely little PR boost.
And 911 said, we don't need you to talk on the phone, George.
Yes.
We don't
no,
need
you. No, just put the phone away. You've done enough damage.
We just... speculated on pulling various victims from emergencies and further injuring them. We don't have any information. But did those people have neck injuries before George got there?
Who can say?
All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Frankie in Miami, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Frankie.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Mook.
Hi.
Hello.
I was just wondering how Zimmerman was so terrified of an unarmed 17-year-old that he had to shoot to defend himself. But he was so brave to jump into a car accident and, you know, rescue people who were in danger.
Exactly, Frankie. Yeah. Isn't it just an incredible, timely little PR boost?
That's just the guy he is.
George went
exactly.
in there.
Yeah, exactly.
And he shot the car to save those people.
Right.
That's just the kind of guy George is.
Mark O'Meara, ladies and gentlemen. A favorite new character in this whole saga.
God.
As I think posited yesterday, I feel that he may actually just be a set of comedy clacky teeth with a face that was constructed around them.
Yeah, Mark O'Meara. So, yeah.
Okay, Kevin in... excuse me? Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Hello. Boy, once again, just you looking at the mirror, fixing your face, just... I've got to bite my tongue not to pull your FCC license
again. Oh, okay.
Please do that off camera or something.
Okay, sorry.
But once again, I wonder why you are gag friends or whatever it is with Sean Klukulikulinasandy.
Yeah.
His statement, once again, makes me not understand Republicans' mindset. So now, not only does Trayvon or any black person apparently have to wear a tuxedo when they're walking around, but you have to be of sterling character to be, you have to be perfect in your personal life to be a victim. The same way a woman, no matter how allegedly loose she is, if she's attacked by a man and she says no on that particular occasion, then it's rape. It doesn't matter what alleged type of woman she is. The same way that it does, you don't have to be of sterling character to be a victim. I don't understand why they don't understand that meme. I hear it time and time again.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He smoked pot, so he had it coming.
Yeah, right.
What the bleep?
Oh, I'm
don't
sorry.
Get that mindset.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's interesting. Great piece in the Daily Beast about Obama's Trayvon Martin briefing shows view on race in America is changing. And, they're saying that I think it is igniting a conversation that we haven't quite had before. When you look at, they're talking about how unusual it is that there'd be all of these rallies on a moment's notice all over the country. And it's, you know, and you can see the kids are honestly emotional, you know. I mean, where's my nostalgia music? Because I thought of something else, this whole conversation about profiling. I told my story about the time that I had my bike stolen while I was riding it.
Yes.
In Central Park, circa, I don't know, 1989, 90. Uh-huh. Back when I was a DJ at Hot 97, everybody. Boys to Men tickets come right up. So I was, I had my fancy new DJ job.
Right. Fancy new DJ bike.
And I bought, my first, really nice bike. I'll never forget. It was a black Cannondale with pink writing. It was so pretty. Pretty and pink. I was so excited. And I just bought it the day before, and I was riding through Central Park, and a young black teenager tackled me while I was on the bike.
Pink and black?
Right.
That's a nightmare on wheels.
It's good and pretty.
It was beautiful. Anyway. Anyway, so I was, a lame-ass, skinny little white woman.
Sure.
And
well, white so, girl at that
and
point.
And I just, all I could think of is, oh my God, yes, this, what I did would be considered in law enforcement circles.
A bad idea.
Unwise.
Yeah.
We don't need you to do that. Someone would tell me if I would have asked. But I just, my brain, I was like, oh no, this is my new bike. Because we struggled over it for a minute. And then he went like this, like he had a gun or a knife or something. So I let go. And then he started running away with the bike. And I just, in my brain, said, you know, I need to tackle him. Because Lawrence Taylor was big at that time. The flying tackles on the New York Giants. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna throw an LT on him. I didn't. And I tackled him on top of the bike. And he looked back at me like you would. Like, you crazy bitch. Are you kidding me? Really? And so anyway, but I was telling the story yesterday that then two black ladies pulled up in their car and they started screaming at him. And he got scared and he ran away. And I got my bike back. And so I'm just saying, in terms of racial stereotypes, because somebody was saying yesterday that people tend to, well, not to say use the term black and white, but you know what I mean? There are good people and bad people of every race. But the other thing I thought was interesting in terms of profiling, they pulled up just when we were going like this, and you'd think, in that sense, they obviously assumed he's the one that stole the bike, right?
Sure.
Because that's, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. It's just, so some of this discussion about profiling is interesting.
And I also think that only black ladies can talk to black robbers in such a tone to make them get up a bike.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was like his mom. You could tell he just went,
exactly,
oh,
yeah.
All right, I'm out.
Yeah, they recognize that tone of voice that only black ladies can do.
Could also be that he noticed the pink writing on the bikes. Oh, hell
no. Oh, God,
but I'm
no.
saying, but they only pulled up when we were both going like this. Over. And I'm just saying, they obviously made the presumption that he had stolen the bike that I didn't steal it from him, you know?
I think Jim is right.
What?
That they gave up the bike.
He saw the pink writing.
Saw the pink writing. Oh, like,
damn.
Oh, no. No, no.
What kind of man wants a bike with pink writing? Really? 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It'll never work, but when you're doing it with
Stephanie Miller,
you just can't help smiling.
Right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Don in Wisconsin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, sir.
I got a question. You know, let's say someone comes and, you know, punch you in the nose and knock you down, start beating your head on a skull, and you're only protecting as a weapon. What would you do? You know, this conversation is so out of control.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing racist about it.
You believe everything George Zimmerman says about what happened, right? Because there's nobody else alive to tell you to tell another side of the story, right?
So if Trayvon would have killed Zimmerman, would we be having this conversation?
I think it would have been a much fairer fight if Trayvon had been armed.
Yeah.
Well, you only got one side of the story. You know, have you heard all...
Right, because the other side is dead.
Yes, I don't think there's nothing racist about it. I really don't. I think this is awful out of proportion.
Uh-huh.
What?
What?
Blown out of proportion.
Let's talk about the black and black killings in Chicago. Uh-huh. You had, 672 killings in Chicago?
Does anyone else smell musty talking points?
Yes.
God.
Black on black crime in Chicago.
We can talk about crime in Chicago.
There's nothing wrong with it, shooting a guy. What?
That's banging he was your black. Head on the
then,
sidewalk.
Yeah, and then he left him there overnight in the rain, which I think is kind of awful.
You would think the police would have had something to say about
that.
Yeah. All right. That smelled like Comic-Con. That's a musty old
musty
bag of talking points.
Batman costume from Halloween of 1983.
Exactly. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mama. Boy, that guy had no threat of being valedictorian of his class.
No.
And he sounded like he had such real concern and empathy for the black-on-black crime in Chicago.
Right, because somebody told him to say that.
Right.
That's how his concern is manifested. But two things. First of all, can you imagine being the emergency worker that got the call from George Zimmerman saying, this is George Zimmerman, I want to call about something?
Yeah.
They probably just soiled themselves right then and there.
Yeah, they're like, hang on.
Oh, why did you do this?
No.
Oh, George.
No. But the other thing is, I'm so tired of the hypocrisy of like Dana Perino and Sean Hannity saying, the President of the United States should keep out of this. If there's anything we need our national leader to do is to speak out about this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And why? He has nothing left to lose. Everyone is just waiting for him to say, shut the hell up.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter what he does. He's always leading too much and not enough and from behind and also too late.
Yeah. Exactly. If he hadn't said anything at all, they would have just told him.
Why did
he say
anything?
He doesn't care.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, the man can't do anything right. I'm hoping the American people have enough smarts now to recognize just what Fox News is about. It's all about taking down anyone who isn't like them,
yep.
And they are the essence of what this country is not.
Right.
It's so tiresome. Yep. I need to take a rest now.
All right. You take a little nappy now. You'll be on the fainting couch. Until further notice. I thought this was a great piece in the Daily Beast by Errol Lewis. President Obama's briefing on the Trayvon Martin outcome proves Americans are and have been ready for a new kind of race discussion. President Obama's remarkable public White House musings about the killing of Trayvon Martin are part of a larger national awakening and reassessment of the way Americans think and talk about race, crime, and culture. To a great extent, Obama's not so much leading the conversation as joining a discussion that's been building for a decade or so. The weekend's rallies provide an unambiguous clue as something beyond politics as usual is in progress. Thousands of largely unaffiliated people don't show up in 100 cities on less than a week's notice on a whim. And then he talks about what we just talked about, the way young people are reacting to the verdict. Somebody from the NAACP said, we had to sit up with the kids until 2 in the morning. They were shocked. I mean, at a complete loss. And maybe part of it they're saying is because of the fact that we do have a black president that they thought we really are in more of a post-racial, and they just didn't understand the verdict. As of this writing, a group of young people called the Tallahassee Dream Defenders. Have you seen them on TV yesterday? They've been locked inside the office of Florida Governor Rick Scott for 3 days, demanding a special legislative session to repeal the state's Stand Your Ground law. Excuse me. I have to kill the frog in my throat.
Yeah, are you okay?
The frog in your throat?
He might be able to shoot it with a gun.
Stop it.
What?
Obama's comments are part of a shift in America's long-standing
history. I'm
going
to get that
history.
Frog. I'm going to get him.
Because that's just the kind of guy you.
They're part of a shift in America's long-standing history of conflating race and criminality, assigning innate criminal tendencies to black Americans, especially men and boys, and black culture. A good piece in the Daily Beast, he finishes by saying what might seem like a simple, uncontroversial assertion that black boys, like all other Americans, should be treated as individuals with constitutional rights and a presumption of innocence, turns out to be a controversial position that must be argued, analyzed, and fought for with sit-ins and vigils. In other words, we have political mobilization backed by an intellectual ferment and blessed by the President of the United States could be the start of something big. So I say bully on that. It's a conversation long overdue.
Sure.
But we don't fall back on musty talking points. Talking to you, Don in Wisconsin.
Because he banged his head on the concrete. He took a piece of sidewalk and banged it on his head till the brains came out of his ears.
No, that didn't happen. No.
Right. Yeah, if you read Ted Nugent's piece, boy, he just embellished with a lot more details than even George Zimmerman gave. Really, Ted, that's exactly what happened?
Ted, were you there?
It was a vicious, unprovoked attack.
Well, if you'd been there, Trayvon would have been shot with a crossbow.
Right.
Like an elk.
We have no information if Ted Nugent would have shot him with a crossbow.
I think we can be pretty sure that he would.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like when we fall back on these, like, people go, what about this case or that case? We're not talking about that case. We're talking about this case, which, by the way, this I don't know what the latest is on this. People, the talking point that went out about, oh, what about the baby, the white baby that was shot by the black teenagers? It sounds like there's some evidence coming out. It might have been the parents. I think they had gunpowder on their hands. That whole story hasn't been, you know. But whatever. It's just... It doesn't even have anything to do, again, with this case. It's like, okay, if two black kids did something bad, they belong in prison, too.
Black guy did something one time. That time, there was a black guy who did that thing.
Right.
And the point is...
Okay. Annie in Georgia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Annie.
Hey, Steph. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
But I just have one point that I want to make this morning. I don't care if I ever hear from George Zimmerman or his lawyers again. They could disappear completely.
Yeah. Yes, well, we wish they would. If they would stop staging fake rescue scenarios.
Oh, look, there's another overturned car. Huh, what a coincidence.
I mean, come on. If this happens again, give me a break. All right.
The jig is up.
All right. Julie in Florida thinks we're mean, y'all. Hi, Julie.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
I just wanted to tell you, I think you're kind of a mean person.
Uh-oh. All right. Sorry. What did I do now?
Nothing. I mean, I don't doubt that you have good qualities because we both like animals, and I'm an ASPCA member.
Right.
But sometimes the way you make fun of people, it comes off as being derogatory.
Really? Well, I love, for instance, chipmunks, and the fact that Mark O'Meara looks kind of like one. I thought it combined my magical love of animals.
I just think George is a wonderful guy. Can I have some more nuts, please?
After you. Oh no, you first. Thank you.
That was mean and derogatory.
Right,
yeah,
that wasn't necessarily
you.
Me being mean. That was Jim being mean.
You're pawning it off on him now.
Right.
You're mean.
Y'all are mean. All right, Freddie in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Freddie.
Hello, Steph.
Hello.
And the gang. How are you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I'm calling because you guys persist, you and the other folks persist on calling Zimmerman a white guy and taking away the credit from us Latinos for being a Latino guy.
He's a Latino with a German surname.
Well, that's because his father is a white guy, but you saw his mother there on the TV when they had on the trial.
Right.
She's like about 5'0" and almost darker than Obama.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, you know, but you guys still persist. You never point that out. You always persist on calling him a white guy.
What's the point? I mean, he's identified himself as a white Latino.
Yeah.
No,
those were his words.
The New York Times put
no, those were his words. Sorry, but
there's no such thing as a white Latino.
That's what he called himself.
Those were his words.
No, on the census they put you white and Latino, and then you got to put your ethnicity if you're like a Puerto Rican
those were Zimmerman's words.
Right, he called himself a white Latino, so we're just going by what he called himself, what he labeled himself.
No, that's kind of ambiguous, and it's just
ambiguous.
I'm not exactly sure what the point is.
What does this have to do with the case and what we're talking about?
Well, okay, the point is that you guys try to keep stoking a white against black thing when we should be fomenting
animosity between blacks and Hispanics.
Right.
I'm sorry,
and
I apologize.
Skin tones. We need
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point.
It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Stephanie Miller Show once again apologizes for fomenting the wrong kind of racial animosity.
Did you get that, Newsbusters?
Okay. Oh, this whole show is going to Newsbusters. Jay, I'm going to have a long night. Jay in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Nice to speak with you.
You too. Go ahead.
Yes, I would like to make a statement. I would like to say they always saying that white people and black people are prejudiced. Black people are not, the majority of black people are not prejudiced. We're angry because white people are prejudiced. They continue to lean on us, fall on us, and because of the prejudice, it's continually to be inequality, and therefore we're going to continue to be angry.
I hope maybe I'm wrong, but I hope the majority of black people or white people aren't prejudiced. But I certainly think that, you know, there are some of every race that are, don't you?
No, I'm saying they say the okay, what I'm saying is they say that we are prejudiced. The majority of black people, Stephanie, is, I'm saying it again, we're not prejudiced. We're angry because of the prejudice that has existed from white people.
Yes, I hear you. Well, obviously, it's a little bit of an imbalance, historically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What?
Well, I was going to say, there are plenty of white people who kill other white people as well.
Sure.
Right. Exactly.
Not everything is racially motivated, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. All right.
After day one of the George Zimmerman rehabilitation tour.
Exactly. All right. You know what?
This just in, George Zimmerman has found the Lindbergh baby.
Really? Oh, my goodness, and revived it. Awesome.
Because that's just the kind of guy he is.
That's
the kind of guy
awesome.
He is. He goes back in time to save the Lindbergh baby. He's a time machine.
Okay. And he's also done CPR on Jimmy Hoffa. And
sure.
Isn't he just an awesome guy? He's just a helper. He's a rescue guy.
Yeah.
Do-do-do. Okay. You know what? I'm going to have Jim read my next spot as a London town crier, don't you think?
Oh, yay! Oh, yay! On this day, the 22nd of July, in the year 2013, we welcome humble duty, a future king, the firstborn of the royal highness, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, he's a little overwrought.
What? We've got a baby, what?
We here in the colonies cannot be more excited about the whole thing. David Cameron, a British Prime Minister, on the Royal Bundle.
It is an important moment in the life of our nation, but I suppose above all, it's a wonderful moment for a warm and loving couple who've got a brand new baby boy.
The royal sack of placenta has arrived.
Alan in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Alan.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thing that's getting me, why isn't, you know, it's never mentioned that the majority of your mass murderers are all white people?
Yes, there is that.
You know, because you're always, you know, out here throughout the morning so far, you know, the white on black, black on black. But nothing.
Orange is the new black.
Sure.
Mass murderers.
What's that?
Which will all happen to be white people.
Yes, that's true. Thank you for that.
Not all of them. Idi Amin did pretty well in that field.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's that.
Well, I mean, he's no Hitler or Stalin.
No.
Gail in. By the way, you know what? Speaking of it, because you know, thank you for the first Hitler mention of the morning. And
the first Idi Amin reference.
Yeah.
Antonin Scalia says the Holocaust was partially brought about by judicial activism.
Sure.
What now? False accusations, huh?
He's an idiot.
He drew upon the Holocaust as an example of how judicial activism can lead to problems. He said, let's see, Scalia opened his talk with a reference to the Holocaust, which happened to occur in a society that was at the time, quote, the most advanced country in the world. One of the many mistakes Germany made in the 1930s, he said, was that judges began to interpret the law in ways that reflected the spirit of the age. When judges accept this sort of moral authority, as Scalia claims they're doing now in the U.S., they get themselves and society into trouble.
Right, right. Okay. Nice try.
I dare say that Scalia has been a judicial activist his entire career.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Himmler. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I was just a joke.
No,
not
Himmler.
Calling him.
He's
not
Mussolini.
Sure. Okay.
Stephanie Miller sure regrets the error.
I apologize to Himmler for the confusion.
Is there any way we can just make this hour disappear into a cornfield?
I think this could be the best of the week.
Oh, boy. Arnold, oh, great. Give him a chance to hear it again. Arnold in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Arnold.
Good morning, Steph. You brought a good point up this morning about the spontaneous people coming together to demonstrate and protest what happened and how it's growing. Here in my great state of North Carolina, not so great now that the Republicans are taking over. We have, every morning we have the Moral Monday marches, which is 12 weeks old. I've been attending the last 8 of them, and it's a steady growing event. But Martin Luther King, which is the anniversary of his great march in Washington, is coming up this year. And this is how it started back during the Civil Rights Movement. A little group here, a little group there, a little group there. They all spun together to become a big march and a big campaign and became a Civil Rights Movement of the 60s. And that's what's needed in this country. Mm-hmm. We come together at Moral Monday to say, I am Trayvon Martin is going to be our battle cry when we go back to the polls in the upcoming midterm election.
Vote for Trayvon. That's what Hal Sparks started that last week on the show. Mike in Tacoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Thank you, Stephanie. Hey, I've got a comment. If all these moonbat crazy people who want to spout about racism need to take racism completely out of it. It was a grown man against the advice of the police getting out of his car, stalking a child, and killing him.
Mm-hmm.
That is the crux of the whole argument right here. It wouldn't matter black, white, Hispanic.
My God, yeah, but come on. You know he racially profiled him, even in the phone call.
Exactly. I completely agree that he racially profiled him, and race is a big part of this. But all these idiots who keep calling up and going, oh, it's not about racism, then fine, it's not about racism. It's about a grown man killing a child. And if you're any kind of conservative who's pro-life, then you should be against Zimmerman because he killed a child, and you're way out there to save children. So there you go.
And if you're any kind of conservative, you should support Trayvon Martin having been armed to protect himself against a stalker like George Zimmerman.
Yes, exactly.
And yet the NRA is completely silent.
Still
silent on that point. Hmm. Karen in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Hello, Mama.
Hello.
Okay. I want to lay to rest this whole, what is George, a Latino? Is he white? Okay,
or is he just doofus? Is he an interracial doofus?
Doofus.
Yes.
Okay, it's not racial. You gotta remember, it's mixed ethnicity. Races are white, Asian, black, Native American. Those are the races.
Right.
Ethnicities are a different story. Now, you are white and Hispanic. You know, those are you can be both because ethnicity and race are totally different ballgames.
Right.
Now, I was born to a Mexican father, a white mother. My husband was born to a Puerto Rican mother, a white father. We both were raised white because we were both raised in white neighborhoods with, you know, I mean, my husband has a white surname. I did not. But my surname wasn't like Gomez and Gonzalez or whatever, so it was harder to pick out.
All right. I'm confused. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, right back. Charlie Pearson Moore on the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, this just in. Apparently, George Zimmerman saved baby Jessica from the well.
Oh,
did not
good.
Realize that either.
Good for him.
Well,
yeah,
well, well.
That story.
This is in. He's gone back in time and unexploded the Hindenburg.
Wow. He is
what a guy.
Awesome.
I think the kind of guy he is. He's just splendid.
All right. Join us if you're calling Bolt. on this George Zimmerman rescue story. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website, if you do the good old-fashioned emailing kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
David Bender pocket texted me yesterday. Have you ever gotten a gibberish text?
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, what the? Is he drunk? What the? And then he texted later and said, apparently my pants have been texting you gibberish. They also called Rachel Maddow. That only happens. That only happens when I wear blue jeans. See, if you were wearing red pants, he might automatically, like, pocket dial Ann Coulter and Michelle Morgan.
Right, there we go. That's true.
I love that Rachel was like, what? Bendy.
Bendy. She's the only one who's allowed to call him
yeah,
Bendy.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Oh, this just in, speaking of which, 59% of us, that's almost 60, Jim.
It is, almost.
Are complete douche nozzles. We would consider breaking up with someone by a text.
Mm.
That's douchey, in my opinion.
That's happened to me.
Everything's happened to you. Because you date people that collect jars of hearts.
What? Actual hearts?
It's a song.
Ooh.
It's a song.
It's a song.
Oh,
Christina Perry.
Let's see. USA Today say not only do many relationships start with a text, some end that way. Oh, Katy Perry revealed that noted douche nozzle Russell Brand.
I'm Russell Brand, and you will laugh at what I say because I'm British. That was a joke, by the way.
Why didn't they have him announce the royal baby?
Yeah. Oh, look, it's the royal baby who just popped out. And it's funny because I'm saying it.
Okay, anyway, he asked for a divorce by text. That's particularly douchey.
Yeah.
Mm.
A new survey by USA Today found 59% would or might break up with someone. They're casually dating by text. 24% said they would end an exclusive relationship that way. Douchey, douchey, douchey. It removes confrontation, said a professor at wherever.
Sorry, babe, I got to ramble.
You don't have to have a big knockdown, drag-out fight, but you also don't get that experience of having to interact in uncomfortable situations, face-to-face, live situations. And also, on a date, 96% of singles keep their phones out of sight, yet 67% say they found a way to check them. Oh, come on. Everyone. You know when someone's looking at their phone.
They're updating their Facebook status.
Exactly.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Wait a minute, how did I just get defriended? We're still having a meal. What's happening? That's God. Like magic.
Defriended and blocked.
My phone is
That's
turned
happened
off.
To me.
Wow. It's given you a little time to work out all your psychological issues. Anything else you'd like to talk about?
I'm good.
Okay. Okay. Things good.
I'm good.
All right.
Actually, things are good right now.
I know. I'm very excited for you. All right. Isn't that precious? All right.
She said right. Gritting her teeth.
Yeah.
No, everything's good.
Everything's I'm fine.
Good. Right. Everything's
Nobody
good.
Nobody help me. we mentioned this before. A group of Florida activists has been camped out in the state and building for nearly a week in opposition to Stand Your Ground. And they're getting a hand from local Democratic legislators who are also against the law.
And in a way, they're standing their ground.
Right, exactly. The Dream Defenders. They entered the Capitol in Tallahassee on Tuesday after the Zimmerman verdict.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Scott has eventually accepted their request for a meeting, but refused to call a special legislative session on the law. The Dream Defenders have vowed to remain in the Capitol until Scott reverses course, which has left them voluntarily locked in the building. Apparently, if they leave, they won't be let back in. So some state representatives, Democrats, have made sure they have the basic supplies they need.
Good.
Fight. Go, 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 Dream Defenders.
Florida's kind of a mess right now.
All right. Let's see. 1-800-STEPH-1 to the phone number. Les in Nevada. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Les.
Give my call. I love you guys' show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I was a freshman in high school when President Kennedy was assassinated, and I remember the civil rights movement pretty well. I was beaten up by cops in Griffith Park in L.A. at a peace march, among other things that happened over that period of time.
Right.
And I really kind of feel like what's happening in Sanford is kind of a reflection of the last gasp, kind of the flickering of the light bulb, you know, when it gets real bright before it dies.
Like a supernova.
All right. Like mm-hmm. Sure. Okay.
Was that Joe Walsh?
Yes. Thank you, Joe Walsh. Enjoy your work. let's go to Gail in Sacramento. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gail.
Hi. Hi.
Hello.
I also am disgusted by the George Zimmerman topic. And you know what? This sidewalk thing just drives me crazy. Did not George Zimmerman have access to that same lethal sidewalk?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank
right.
you.
And but he brought a more lethal weapon, a gun. And I'm an anesthetist. I see trauma every day. Mm-hmm. If George Zimmerman had come into a hospital, he would have sat in the ER for 12 hours.
Yeah.
Because his injuries were so minor.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I've had worse cuts shaving myself in the shower.
Right.
Okay?
Ouch.
Right, exactly. Or somebody else shaves me in the shower. It's even worse. You know,
looks like
screaming
the
is terrible.
This looks like the shower scene in Carrie when she's in there shaving. Good God, what's happening?
No, but she's right. I mean, that's her said. If he had actually been hit on his head on the concrete like that, he would have had a fractured skull and brain swelling.
Right. Yeah.
Brains leaking out of his ears.
Well, that's assuming he has enough. Yeah, never mind.
He could have technically been a man with two brains almost, right? All right. Let's see. The Obama.
Of horror.
Right. 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 Okay. Obama plans to unveil his agenda for the economy tomorrow. With major battle looming in the fall, won't that be fun again over the federal budget and the debt ceiling? Won't that be fun again, everybody?
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. President Obama trying to regain the initiative, embarking on a campaign-style tour of the Midwest this week to lay out his agenda for reinvigorating the nation's economy, which I'm sure the Republicans will once again be so helpful with.
Of course.
Uh-huh. The president's
card. We've created over 7.2 million private sector jobs, 40 straight months of economic growth.
I could have done that.
But we have more work to do. And what the president hopes to do is talk about how we can do that together.
The president's spokesman said in a couple of months we will face some more critical budget deadlines that require congressional action, not showdowns that serve only to harm families and businesses.
Yeah.
And the president wants to talk about the issues that should be at the core of that debate. The president's carny again.
You will hear the president enunciate, will provide a vision of where we have been, where we are, and where we need to go.
Oh, by the way, didn't the Boner say the other day that we should not judge Congress on the bills that they pass, but the bills they repeal?
Right.
Not what they do, but what they undo. And by the way, on that standard, they've repealed actually zero laws.
Hmm.
So he's pretty much a zero on every.
Wow.
Kind of a loser on every, by every measure. So he's passed nothing and repealed nothing, and he considers that a win.
Right.
Okay.
So he's a zero and not a hero.
Right. I've proven everything I wanted.
Okay, the Boner.
So now I would argue the president's policies are getting in the way of the economy growing, whether it's Obamacare, whether it's all these needless regulations that are coming out of the government.
What needless regulations? What?
The ones that he didn't repeal. Okay. By the way, the president will also make the case for the economic benefits of overhauling the immigration code legislation that, of course, has passed the Senate and is languishing, as they say, in the House under the Boner's incredibly strong leadership.
I got 80% of what I wanted.
By the way, immigration reform reduce the deficit.
Needless regulations? Like, does he want us to set up buckets of lead for children to munch on?
Lead paint chips.
Sure.
Yes. Eat up.
Okay. I grew up eating lead paint chips.
It's part of his new idea, the school lead paint chip.
Sure.
Lunch program.
How about a school made out of lead so that children can just, just chew on the walls?
Here's a bucket of pencils to eat.
That's not actual lead. It's carbon graphite.
That used to be lead, though.
Used to be lead.
Yes.
Wow.
This new normal, a slow economic growth, no increase in jobs that are available. Wages are being basically frozen. We're squeezing the middle class. And I would argue the president's policies are getting in the way of the economy growing.
No.
The new normal. Can I hear that again? I'm sorry. What is he? This is the new normal? Oh, I see.
This new normal. A slow economic growth. No increase in...
Slow economic growth. That's what he said. That was... And that's despicable.
Someone in the chat room says, how about all those needless abortion regulations?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Kevin
in Texas.
Hi, Kevin. Welcome.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I was actually calling to talk about, I guess, a little offshoot on the Trayvon Martin thing. I know we're doing our hate George Zimmerman moment, which is fine. It's a tragedy that boy died. Either way, whether he's Hispanic, white, whatever,
that doesn't really matter. But I was happening as a real, actually voting libertarian, watching Bill O'Reilly last night, whether y'all do or not. And some
I do
facts.
Every night.
Good.
Yep.
Well, if you saw the talking points memo, mm-hmm. I think that was a very salient, and I don't know if y'all have a drop of that that you can play, but a very salient point as to a bigger problem that's going on within the African-American community, which is the disintegration of the black family. And we will talk about a lot of real issues.
So that was behind. That was what was behind Trayvon's death?
No, absolutely not. But we're
so how is that a salient point to this issue?
It's not a salient point to Trayvon. It's a salient point to the situation of the African-American. If you're a young right. African-American male, okay, not necessarily Trayvon, the life that you grow up in is not one that is conducive to success in the same way that someone like me, who is white, is. 72% of African-American children born out of wedlock. They're born out of wedlock. And if you're born out of wedlock,
you just made a blanket statement that no black person would have right. has the advantages that you would have just because you're white. I think
that's offensive.
Yeah, that's offensive. All right. And oh, look, it's time for a break.
Oh.
Okay. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That is great radio.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Warm what up? Warm
this.
It up?
It. Do it.
Why would you want to warm up a milkshake?
Do it. Ew. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH. Oh, this just in.
Artichoke dip. You want to warm that up.
Yeah.
Regarding the Southwest Airlines flight. Breaking, Zimmerman steps in and axes nose gear for plane
yes.
and pulled out 300 passengers
mm-hmm.
from the wreckage.
Is right. just a kind of guy here?
I just a kind of guy
here. Just awesome.
He went to the front of the plane and jumped down into the wheel well and stopped the plane with his feet. His feet are
like
completely
Fred
burned
Flintstone,
off now.
Except with a plane.
Yeah.
Marco Mira, his attorney.
Marco Mira.
On his latest, anyway, this is the LaGuardia Airport spokesman.
Landing gear collapsed. The nose wheel specifically collapsed. We had up to 10 persons treated at the scene. 4 refused medical attention. 6 were transported to Elmhurst General Hospital.
It's amazing he did not mention George Zimmerman's heroics.
No.
No.
Hmm.
Marco Mira did, though.
I'm sure.
On the, I don't know if anyone else is calling for on the George Zimmerman rescued people from a car thing, but... Okay.
I think someone going through what he's gone through, and with the reaction to this verdict, to still maintain his principle of just being a guy who's going to help out people in need, I think that is awesome.
Just a guy who'll run people off the road and then pretend to save them. That's the kind of guy he is.
That's awesome.
That's his principle. It's awesome.
Okay.
I could listen to 3 hours of Jim doing a Marco Mara
impression.
Did we
put a screenshot of Jim doing Marco Mara up on the where? On the Facebook page?
On the Facebook page, on the Stephanie Miller Show Facebook page.
It is delightful.
Yep.
Okay. Sakina in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, go
I don't
ahead.
Know if you guys knew, George Zimmerman, he just delivered the British baby.
Oh, did he?
What a
did
guy.
George
Good
Zimmerman, he's just that type of guy. You didn't
right.
know.
Right,
was,
right,
I don't
right.
Know.
He performed
did they say anything about it?
Yeah.
He performed
was,
a cesarean with a gun,
right,
actually, which
yeah.
is
oh.
really
oh.
unusual.
It was preaching, and he, thank God he stepped in there, because that's...
Wow.
Okay. Mary in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mary.
Hello?
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Hi, Mary.
Well, I don't understand why you keep making fun out of the man and his lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to go around the table, a horse is a horse is cute. Jackie Shatner looks like a horse.
Oh, for God's sake. Okay. You know what? See, how did he just... I am going to go and bitch slap her into the middle of the next election cycle. And he didn't identify her as road flare. That's
yeah,
why she's
Travis!
So Travis! All right. Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I'm sure you're much hotter than Jackie, Road Flair.
I've seen the pictures of Road Flair.
Billy and Peckham, though. Really?
Billy and Peckham?
Billy.
So Zimmerman doesn't turn out to be the monster that you people made him out to be. And you're making fun of him for that. Trayvon Martin was killed, tragically, precisely because of the kind of hate that you people foment every day on your show on how the white guy
we killed him.
We killed Trayvon
Martin.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trayvon felt like he had a license to take a swing at George Zimmerman.
How do you know what happened,
what
Billy?
Yes.
How do you know what happened?
How do you know he took a swing?
On the black man all the time.
How do you know he
if
took a swing at George Zimmerman?
Had a swung on Zimmerman, Zimmerman wouldn't have shot him. That's the bottom line.
How do you know that?
Well, I know that because that's the way it's been adjudicated.
No, it's not the way it's been adjudicated.
And that's what the evidence says, Stephanie.
No, it doesn't.
Get out of your cap.
What? What's so mean today? Y'all are mean. Get out of my cap. All right.
Josh over at Current TV says their building just shook after Mary made that comment. So we need to see if Jackie is okay.
You know what? I need to be
You know what? You and the blacks.
I need to play Jim's phone messages about Road Flair that he left on my.
No.
Well, you can't play that. But it was the funniest thing I've ever heard, and the most creative use of the C word I've ever heard, and the most amount of times I've heard it. Right.
And you've been called the C word.
Right.
Yes.
Cantankerous.
So is Kara. Kara in Chicago. Hello, Kara in Chicago. That's two C words.
Hello, Steph. How are you?
Good.
I love the show.
Thank you.
I just had a couple of comments. I actually initially called to speak about the Latin who felt left out of the racial issues.
Oh, right.
But I want to comment now about the man who called talking about black babies being born out of wedlock. I'm a 28-year-old black woman. My parents have been married for the last 9 years. They've been together since before I was born. My grandparents have been married for 46 years. So that kind of is a very stereotypical racial thing to say. Our issue is not babies born out of wedlock. Our issue is having equal laws. It's not a race war. It's treat us equally.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, like and you know, can, I mean, there are, you know, there are facts and figures, Kara, in terms of sentencing that it is just not, you know, you can't really argue it. That a lot of our sentencing is not fair.
And I'm not sure of the lady's name, but look at the woman who just received 20 years for firing,
right.
What do you call it?
A gun.
Warning
right.
shot.
Like a warning shot, yeah.
Right. And she got 20 years in jail. I would like to know that if I go out and someone shoot me, they're going to be in jail for it. But I don't trust the justice system at all.
Right.
And living in Chicago, I don't trust the police. And it's not a Latino thing or a Mexican thing. No, it's black. It's everyone against black. And might I mention, our president, who has a white mom, by the way, was born out of wedlock for that man and his stereotypes.
Yeah, well, I mean, it just it's you know, bringing issues that don't have anything to do with this specific, you know, this specific instance, what happened in the, you know, in the Trayvon Martin situation. All right, you know, the good, you know, interracial, post-racial thing that's happening on our show, everyone's getting caught in the crossfire this morning. People that don't deserve it are getting caught.
Jackie just tweeted, what comment? What did I miss?
Oh no, you don't want to know. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Stripper pole, bad lighting, delusional girl who thinks it's a stepping stone to mainstream success.
Ha! Awesome. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to
Here's Danny Bonaducci.
35, huh? 35. Show business angel of death. Oh, no. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Looking for Charlie Pierce. Let's go to Jordan in Tampa. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
All right, I just wanted to speak about the whole George Zimmerman thing. Mm-hmm. Well, I live in Tampa, Florida. I know George Zimmerman personally. Mm. Wow. And I would like to say that George Zimmerman is a good man. He's a better person than all of you people down there that are sitting here bashing him.
Okay.
And you need to take the red, white, and blue down because you liberals are destroying the country.
Oh, all right. Okay.
How are we destroying the country?
Yeah, founded by liberals.
Yeah. Get right on that.
The country was founded by liberals.
He's done. He'll take no further questions.
Well, then he'll throw that bomb and then run like a little baby.
I was giving
like
him
a girl.
Too much credit calling him a half-wit.
Right.
He's an eighth of a wit.
I need to start taking the red, white, and blue down.
Yeah, he's a little coward. He didn't want to stay and fight.
Hey, he's
you people, you don't know. I'm running away now.
Crying like a little bitch.
$10 says he really doesn't know George Zimmerman.
Yeah, no. I was just going to say, somehow do I... Somehow it's not quite buying that. Hey, a Republican state senator in Missouri, who is once accused of threatening to kill a political rival's aide, questioned on Monday whether liberalism is a mental disorder.
Oh!
Maybe that was that guy.
The guy who threatened to kill somebody.
Right.
Is judging other people's mental state.
Right.
Okay, then.
State Senate Majority Whip Brian Neves, Republican of Washington, posed the question on Facebook after a long discussion with commenters who had responded to a photo of a large gun he had posted on his site. let's see. In April, these are some previous fun facts about said state senator. In April, he engaged in an email exchange with a constituent who asked to be removed from his email list. He accused the constituent of being in love with him and questioned his sanity. The constituent dismissed Neves as a douchetard. In 2010, Neves was accused of assault by Sean Bell, the campaign manager for the candidate who Neves defeated in the Republican primary. Bell said he stopped by Neves' headquarters to congratulate his staff when Neves grabbed him, took him into a side room, and displayed a gun while threatening to kill him.
A douchetard?
Douchetard.
Is that a thing?
I just read the news.
You just read what's on the teleprompter.
Right, exactly. There's only one man now that understands.
The pilot's name is the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
I wonder if those pilots were flying that Southwest Airlines flight into LaGuardia.
Oh, for God's sakes. Hi, Charlie Pierce.
Hi. You know, there's a picture on Facebook today of Chris LaVoy and Travis.
Yes.
And the clock in the picture says 5:33. You guys get there at 5:30 in the morning?
Oh, we get here at 5:15 in the morning.
Yes.
You guys are crazy. What time's Mama roll in?
Oh.
5 till
seconds,
6.
Seconds before.
5:59 and 30 seconds.
Sometimes minutes before I have to start speaking.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes seconds before you have to start speaking.
It depends on if Chris is on time to pull me off the heating grate at my house and trundle me along to work.
Oh, this just in. George Zimmerman found the Lindbergh baby and promptly shot him.
Oh, dear. There. Are you, Charlie, you calling BS on this whole Zimmerman rescue to family?
I'd like a witness to come forward. I'd like one cell phone photo or, you know, handheld video. I mean, there's no event, you know, there's no event in the news right now that isn't filmed by somebody somewhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not going to say it didn't happen, but I sure would like to see some evidence.
Yeah. For sure. By the way,
it's just a skosh convenient, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just it's miraculous the timing in a PR sense. It really is. now, Charlie, you pointed out what we were talking about a couple of days ago that Buckeye Firearms Foundation would like to purchase a new firearm for George Zimmerman
and a flashlight holster, and a holster,
right? Any other
and
gear?
Perhaps a secret decoder ring
and X-ray glasses.
You say you are reluctant to point out the sheer ishness of this, but this move. But boy, howdy, what a move this is! Yeah, you think?
Yeah, I, you know, this is just sticking fingers in people's eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, let him go buy his own gun if he wants another gun. Of course, that he can. So off he goes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not my fault that the FBI is holding his gun. You know.
Yeah. What did you think of the? We didn't have time to talk to you since the president's comments on Friday.
I thought it was as open and frank as he's ever been, and I thought, you know, he was being what in old days used to be called a race man for the very first time.
Yeah.
And I mean, the way you know this that's the case is because the hysteria on the other side, which I think Eric Bullitt talked about yesterday, has just been over the moon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really is incredible. And I thought, as you said, I mean, I just thought it was so sort of personal and you know, and in that sense, I mean, I just thought so relatable to people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a very humanizing moment. Not that, I mean, I don't know that it moved the needle on anything, but, you know, so as my senior senator says, if you don't have the fight, you don't win the fight.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. By the way, I loved your piece on there is no GOP alternative to health care, and in related news, the wetness of water is now confirmed. this is, yeah, I don't know what it was. It the 38th time, Charlie, I think?
Yeah,
that they repealed, yeah.
And
uh-huh.
the position appears to be, and this will be up on a post that will go up later today, from Senator Mike Lee, the constitutional scholar from Utah.
Yes.
Who his thing is that they should do, they should keep all the stuff that people really like about the Affordable Care Act, and then defund everything that would make the things people like possible.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the height of the intellectual opposition to this act right now. We want to keep the pre-existing condition, but, you know, that we want to keep that. We want to do this and that and all the stuff that polls really well. But anything that might require you to, the country to like pay for that stuff, we're going to get rid of that.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, he actually said that he went further than that. He said the Republicans will shut down the government to block
right.
Obamacare.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm not entirely sure he didn't say he would do it personally. Mighty Mike Lee.
Right. Yes, right. Right. He is of Zimmerman-esque hero proportions, apparently. speaking on Fox News, where they do all their legislating these days, Lee said Republicans determined refusing to fund Obamacare was the last stop before the individual mandate and laws health insurance exchanges are set up. So he literally said they are willing to shut down the government to block further implementation of the law.
Yes, and Mitch McConnell applies his head to his desk vigorously 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, I mean, he's suggesting Republicans refuse to vote on a future measure to fund the government, setting up another standoff, but this time over. And he says he has, I don't know, he said 13 or 14 Senate Republicans who have joined him on this already.
Well, I mean, I think the important thing to remember is that in all cases like this is that they mean what they say.
Yeah.
You know, he's not bluffing. He's not he's not like looking to get a compromise from which he'll benefit.
Right.
He'll do it if he gets his hands on it, and he should be treated as somebody who's willing to do that.
Well, as you were saying in your piece, you say 16 months before these next elections, some Republicans cite no need to offer an alternative. One of them said, if we're successful ultimately repealing this legislation, because that's going to happen, then we will have a replacement bill ready to come back. They know they're never going to repeal it. So, as you said, of course they have no replacement bill.
Even if they knew they were going to repeal it, they don't have a bill in place. I mean, they have two ideas: tort reform and let people buy insurance across state lines. That's it.
Right.
That's the totality of the Republican health care plan at this moment.
Right. Charlie Pierce, regarding a well-known Southern belle, Lindsey Graham, at some point I don't know anymore where I end and you begin, so I don't remember anymore what you're stealing from me and what I'm stealing from you. But you write, dust off the fainting couch because there's a lady threatening to run a primary campaign against Senator Huckleberry down there in South Carolina, and all it takes to give Lindsey the vapors is to have someone speculate that maybe if the moon stays in the house of Wing Nuttia, which is to say it remains in retrograde, they might consider the possibility of perhaps, who knows, running against him from the Republican right. This will cause Lindsey, once he is revived with spirits of camphor and a discreet shot of sherry, to start running to his right again. So is this going to happen? Nancy Mace is her name?
Well, she seems to have the money, and she seems to have the desire, and she certainly has the chops. If you read the extended block quote from her Red State blog, where she thinks Lindsey Graham is an opponent of the Constitution.
Wow.
Which, I mean, just that particular designation keeps getting moved further and further into the Izonkosphere. I mean, if Lindsey
into
Graham
the what?
The Izonkosphere.
you say she has all the right intellectual.
The air is very thin there.
Yes.
Right, all the right intellectual credentials to scare the socks off Huckleberry, who has very scarable socks, which is true. But I mean, that's the problem. Is he's already been doing this, hasn't he? I mean, running.
Well, to an extent, he's been trying to immunize himself against this sort of thing. Yeah, but I mean, there's a certain level of implacability to what's going on in the Republican right now. They don't, you know, Lindsey Graham is not conservative enough. Mike Enzi's not conservative enough.
Yeah.
I mean, there are arguments. Bob Bennett wasn't conservative enough. That's how we wound up with constitutional scholar Mike Lee. You know, there's no stopping it. Christine O'Donnell's talking about running again.
Oh,
seriously?
Yes.
Oh, God.
She's not a witch.
Still not a witch. Still not a witch.
You.
You know, Charlie, it's interesting. There's some pieces today, the Daily Beast, but I mean, that's going to be the big story, right? How this whole Tea Party thing plays out, right? I mean,
well, I think it's played out. I think that they're driving the train right now. I mean,
yeah.
Steve King is driving the train on immigration reform in the House. That's it. I mean, he and the people who have allied themselves with him, are the people who are going to determine whether the Republicans get immigration reform or not. And they're not going to get it.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody controlling these people, because there's no there are so many independent power centers now that you can be a successful Republican politician and essentially have nothing to do with the Republican Party. Republican Party. And that's a problem.
Right.
Because there's nobody who can discipline these guys.
That's the thing. I mean, there's, you know, again,
except Marcus, maybe.
Yes, there you go. He's the only one that can discipline the barbarians. But the two pieces in the Daily Beast are, you know, Mitch McConnell and John Boehner lose their grip on the Republican Party. And then Tomosky writes about the case for Ted Cruz that he could be their nominee in 2016 if they continue this. You know, rush to the Tea Party right, correct?
Well, so I think you could set up a Republican primary campaign where you have him and Rand Paul running against each other. I mean, that's conceivable. I mean, that could be the whole field.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, if you're a Republican, I don't know, you know, how do you sell that on a nationwide basis? I'm not entirely sure they want to be a national party anymore.
Yeah.
I think they want to be a party in the states, and I think they want to be a horde of vandals on the national scene, but I'm not entirely sure they want to be a national political party anymore.
Well, they did. There was a poll that I, you know, was in one of these pieces about the, you know, a lot of Tea Party members saying yes, they would rather vote for somebody ideologically pure than someone that can win, and I encourage that. Yes, that is absolute ideological purity. That's what you need. I mean,
it's worked out. It's worked out splendidly so far. I mean, everybody's having a lot of fun with the Republican House, but look what's happening in the states. They're getting what they want.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's the problem. I mean, that's the problem for the country. That's not the problem for the Republican Party. That's the problem for the country.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they could be perfectly. I think they could be perfectly happy if they never elected another president again. Yeah. As long as they keep the House and do what they're doing in the states, I think they'd be perfectly happy with that.
Yeah, well, that's you're right. It's not good for the country. That's exactly the point.
Have we named the princeling yet? By the way,
the princeling. I think the betting is on George. I don't know what's.
Well, Sluggo is way down the list. I'm
really?
Very disappointed.
That's too bad.
I say Charlie. Smith.
There hasn't been one. There's never going to be one because Queen Elizabeth's going to live to be 400 years old.
That is true.
And Prince Charles is never going to be king. So.
Because she will outlast her son.
She will outlast everyone. And she may outlast the kid that was born yesterday.
She's like a cockroach.
She's because mom lived to be 605, right?
Right. Right. And a half. Exactly. All right. Charlie Pierce, love you, honey. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
There we go. It was 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. John Fugelsang coming up next hour, Tuesdays with Fugelsang from the New York Bureau.
Fugelsang. Right. Tuesdays with Fugelsang.
Exactly. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Leon in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
How you doing,
ma'am? Hello, Leon.
I appreciate you taking my call. Mm-hmm. Just tuned into your show. I saw it. But I do think you and your entourage are totally off base.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
The simple facts are the state had their shot.
Right.
They took him to court.
Right.
He was found not guilty
by six white women.
Hey, that's his peers at that time. That's what he picked. His lawyers, the state could have objected. Mm-hmm. They didn't.
They could have. The state didn't do a good job.
Yeah, the state did not do a good job.
Okay, they didn't do. Okay, that stands. If you have a better system of justice, please, hey, I'll vote for it. But as right now, that's the way it is.
Sure.
He was found, and he should be given the opportunity to live his life.
Sure. Now, like O.J. Simpson.
Now, before you start, because I know it's coming, just like Trayvon Martin, hey, look, 90% of the minorities that are killed by minorities.
Right.
So
that means that
allow me to finish.
It should be open season then for white people to kill black people.
I didn't say that.
Right.
I didn't say that.
That's kind of what you're implying.
But you imply, you the way you speak, you imply that there are more incidents than about 10% actually if you go across the United States.
What difference does that make in this particular case?
A boy is dead.
It's an unfortunate incident. But there was.
By the way,
the
do you think anyone's ever ventured an opinion on whether O.J. was guilty or not? So because something is adjudicated a certain way doesn't mean people can't have opinions.
That's right.
Yes, but again, too, after a while, the media got tired of it and went on to something else.
So
until he committed another crime.
Yeah.
This case, and then he tried to steal his stuff back, but right. that's a whole other.
Right. Story for another day. Okay. Oh, speaking of which, by the way, Lockhart
told us. Yeah, glossed all over my O.J. thing.
Yeah. It's like, different. It's completely different.
O.J. Simpson wants to play himself on Charlie Sheen's sitcom. I love this. Gawker says, one of the big unwritten rules about getting away with murder is laying low afterwards. Mm-hmm. Talking to you, George Zimmerman. Post reports O.J. Simpson has a hankering to appear on Charlie Sheen's FX sitcom, Anger Management. Except there's the whole he's in prison thing. But other than that, I'm sure that sounds like a dandy idea. Okay. Harold in Tennessee. Hi, Harold. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think Florida, they're going to have to change their law on this gun carry permit. You know, they need to allow males 12 years old and has reached the height of 5'7" to be able to carry. That way, you know, they'll be more protected.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah,
okay.
And for some reason, the NRA has not chimed in on that.
No. No thoughts at all on it. Hmm. Huh. Jennifer in Fresno, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jen.
Hello. First off, you need to be spraying your troll begone. Next, we'll be hearing about Benghazi and the IRS again.
I know, right?
Well, they need something else. And second, I am so sick and tired of these, and I'm sorry, they're racist. You don't like the black man, you don't like this, you don't like that. Everything is the black man's fault. Pardon me, I hiccuped. Everything is the black man's fault. And you seem to have a lot of them calling in today. I realize that they're bored and they have nothing else to do. But
well, they were probably told on some website like Free Republic to call this particular show.
Make sure you mention
say these talking points.
Black on black crime, say that, Chicago.
Exactly. That's what happens.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But they forget that actually the majority of serial killers are white, the majority of rapists are white, the majority of violent crimes are committed by, white people like me. Imagine that.
Why? What have you done already this morning? What's your point?
Well, I was born liberal, so I guess that's my crime.
All right. No, it's a mental disorder, according to our previous caller. Bill in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hi, yeah. I don't want to talk about this Jordan Zimmer, Trayvon Martin thing, whatever. But you were talking about health care earlier, and I just got informed by my employer here last week that, you know, everyone's saying, you know, this healthcare thing's so good. Well, I'm now put on part-time status. I've lost my healthcare that my employer offered, and it's going to be cheaper. Get this, it's going to be cheaper.
Right, because your boss is a jerk.
Well, for my boss to pay the penalty to the government than to offer us healthcare.
Right.
And I don't work for a big company. I work for a mom and pop. Mm-hmm. Business.
Right. So he's not going to have access to as good as employees because your boss is a jerk.
And you're going to have access to the the marketplace.
See. Mm-hmm. Okay. George in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, George.
Hi, Steph. Hello. Lovely creature.
Thank you.
That earlier caller you had who brought up the 90% crimes of people of color on people of color. Well, that was obviously a plant call, probably paid for by the Koch brothers, and that brings me to my point. Charlie Pierce said that there's no ruling power center in the Republican Party anymore, that Boehner and Yertle the Turtle have lost control of their troops. The reality is that the controlling power center of what is now the Republican Party is the Koch brothers, or as Tom Hartman has taken to calling them lately, the Koch brothers, or what I like to call them, the Crotch Brothers, because crotch rhymes with cotch, and in the crotch is where they're kicking all the rest of us to keep us down while they steal us blind.
All right.
And
I prefer Coke suckers, but then I'm just
you're
that
childish.
Way.
No, right. I use the original German pronunciation. Koch!
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That sounds like Hitler.
Okay.
No, it sounds like cook means cook.
Oh, okay. Follow the money, though. He's right. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, John Fugelsang joins us from the New York Bureau next hour.
In the original Danish.
Right. On the Stephanie Miller Show. is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1, do the phone number toll free from anywhere. Tuesday,
yes, we have a
mine, and on a Tuesday, no less. Good morning, John Buglesang.
Hang on, I'm taking a topless selfie right now, so people will finally take me seriously as a journalist.
Hey, Geraldo, joke right out of the box, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, still a narcissist at 70 is the new still a narcissist at 50. Good morning, Steppers.
Is it really? Is it a generational thing? Somehow I couldn't picture, you know, Ted Koppel saying this. I'm Ted Koppel, and this is my penis.
Male testosterone lameness transcends generations.
Yeah, that was, I don't know what that was all about.
You know, the guy looks great. It's just, you know, it's just like, wow, Geraldo. I mean, we've known ever since Al Capone's vault special, he can't stop exposing himself.
Exactly, so. exactly.
He's all yours, Fox.
John Fugle's saying, are you also calling this George Zimmerman rescue story like we are, or...
I haven't heard that much about it yet, you know. I don't know enough about it. I understand he did wear a cape, and now for all the this actually wipes away the fact that he assaulted a female cop and had a restraining order against him from his old fiancée for battery.
Yes.
So I guess he's always been a great
standing
guy.
His ground.
Incredible. Well, you have to remember, right. Jim. You have to remember. You know, George Zimmerman may have assaulted a female cop, but he was only 20. Trayvon was 17 and might have smoked weed. So
right.
It's very different. Very,
very
different.
Very different.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, his attorney, Mark O'Mara, just thought
I think he's a great guy.
I think someone going through what he's gone through and with the reaction to this verdict to still maintain his principle of just being a guy who's going to help out people in need, I think that is awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah, he's going to help out people in need and then shoot them. You know what? The fact is every Neighborhood Watch branch in America forbids their members from following people on foot. You call law enforcement,
what
law enforcement says. He's a terrible disgrace to the Neighborhood Watch,
even though
he really wasn't a Neighborhood Watch member.
By the way, Jody from New Jersey, Jim, writes, the bit about George Zimmerman saving people had me in hysterics. Unfortunately, during one of Jim's impressions of Mark O'Mara, I laughed so hard I fell off the treadmill.
All right.
She like
you
to
so
tone
you,
it
you
down.
Didn't stand your ground on the treadmill, apparently.
No, she did not stand her ground. We were just, you know, speculating as to whether he was, like, removing crash victims by the neck and further injuring them. No, George, we don't need you to do that. Oh, no, don't, for God's sakes, don't. What did we say? You are not an EMT. Oh, you're not an EMT. Oh, okay.
Look at the people I saved.
Mm-hmm.
It's real good what you did, George. It's real good.
You're a bad man.
Tell us about the rabbits again.
What? No, that's completely different. Why? Is there some doubt as to whether this story is true?
it just is a startling, PR move timing wise, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I guess for the first time in his life, he was in the right place at the right time.
Exactly. Diane in Jersey, it's for you, John. John, hello, Diane.
Hi, Steph. Hi, guys. I'm so excited to call when John Fugelsang is on because I just saw him in the movie The Coexist Comedy Tour.
Oh, yeah.
And, John, you were brilliant. You were
Thank
hysterical. You were brilliant. And he even mentioned your show in the movie, Stephanie.
Oh, my God.
I did mention Steph Miller in the film. Yeah, well, it was that was a really fun movie, and I believe it's coming out on iTunes this month.
I was watching it on demand. It's so great. I watched it 3 times. I swear.
Oh, is it on demand already? Okay, great.
Yes.
Well, everyone should watch it. It's actually
Steph,
did I tell
you about
this?
Stars Network. Can I say that?
Oh, yeah, it's on the Stars Network,
awesome.
And I didn't know it was already on demand. This was a film.
Please tell us.
This was a real tour in California that had a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, a Hindu, and an atheist. And they made a film about it. This film crew.
Was it shot in a bar?
No. It's hilarious. This director's name is Larry Brand, and he's an independent filmmaker. They shot it, and then their Christian dropped out, and he wouldn't let them use any of his footage. So the film actually is pretty cool. Michael Moore premiered it at his Traverse City Comedy Festival, and he's been a big champion. It goes from being a concert documentary to being an actual narrative doc about how they've got to find a new Christian comic to fill in for their Christian who dropped out. So in between every act, you see them going around the country seeing some hilarious and some horrible comedians to talk about Christianity. And then they meet me in New York, and we wound up shooting my set at Stand Up New York the night before the 10-year anniversary of 9/11 for a movie that's all about religions getting along. So it wound up being a really lovely movie, and the comedians are, I mean, you got to sit through me, but aside from that, the comedians are great in it. And so it's called the Coexist Comedy Tour. It is now on demand. I didn't even know that. And I think it's coming out on iTunes in the next 2 weeks.
Well, awesome.
So I'm glad someone saw it.
awesomeness squared. And you are not to be endured. She is correct. You are brilliant and also brilliant.
Well, thank you.
The film, brilliant.
It just won the best documentary at the New York City Vision Fest Film Festival. So it's really good. I hope you can see it.
So you didn't count as the Christian comic then?
No, I did count as the Christian comic. Mm. Although when they called me in, I was like, guys, I don't think I'm what you have in mind for a Christian comic. I talk a lot about Christianity. And then when they actually filmed it, we did it on the Upper West Side, and Elaine Boozler was my warm-up for it. She came in and got the crowd warmed up. But they announced to the crowd, yes, we're filming a Christian comic tonight. And the entire audience was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
So fortunately, I brought the filth.
Yay. All right, let's go to...
What a great caller. Thank you.
Mason in Ohio, you're on with John. Hi, Mason.
Good morning, Sunshine. How are you doing?
Good morning, Moonshine.
Good gracious. Y'all are having a bunch of hateful cray-cray buggers today, aren't you?
Yes.
Man.
Yes, they're bringing the cray-cray.
They hate reality and take it out on us.
Something's in the water for sure. And you know, you can make fun of Zimmerman because he just makes it so easy. Why not make fun of him if he's going to do stupid stuff, publicity stunts? But you know, this really is a tragedy that a boy died, and it's a very serious matter that a boy died, and it wasn't justified the way the court system handled it. I don't really think that justice was found. But what we can do is actually look at the positive and start a national conversation, because obviously racism, while silent, is very real and alive today and needs to be addressed, because there is a great inequality between if this was a white boy in a hoodie versus the fact that it was a black boy in a hoodie. Yep. And we also need to also look at and address the stand your ground, because that's why the verdict came down the way it did. Mm. And that is a shame that not only did the judicial system fail him, but our government leaders failed him as well by letting this stand a law that actually increases gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
And they're okay with that.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I was mentioning it yesterday that I thought Eric Holder, John, made a good point. He's like, why are we fixing something that's not broken? This, you know, self-defense laws have existed since time immemorial. Why do you need...
These are the same folks who are always saying, you don't need more hate crimes laws. Enforce the laws on the books. And yet, when it comes to having more license to shoot people, they're all for more laws. More big government, more of it. And Alec writes it, and these legislators copy and paste it, introduce it. It's the same wording on the same bill in every different state. And this is how the aristocracy is calling the shots right now. And again, the law is not keeping you safe. You can already defend yourself in your home. This is all stand your ground is if you start a fight and get your ass kicked in a fight you started, you get to shoot the guy.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw.
Exactly. Charlie in Indiana, you're on with John. Hi, Charlie.
Hi. I had a thought about, I always wondered what kind of person Trayvon was. And after watching his mother, father, and brother on TV, and the grace and courage they show with this horrible tragedy, I have a pretty good idea that he's a pretty nice person, and I just think it's so tragic.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought his mom was amazing. Did you see any of her speaking, John?
I did. I interviewed her on CNN last year a couple times, and you know, she's had uncommon grace in it. When you consider the amount of bitterness and venom that we'd all, you know, allow them to have, I think that they have a strong spiritual foundation. I think that it's fascinating how much the right-wing media has invested time and energy in making us think this kid was a bad person. Because, you know, he took some selfies of himself giving the finger, or he had gold in his teeth.
He smoked pot.
Yeah, and it's like you can accept the fact that Zimmerman had a black woman as his date to the prom, and Zimmerman mentored black kids. No one's saying he's a genocidal bigot. The fact is he prejudged young black youth the way the society does in general. And there's a big difference between institutionalized racism and just rank hatred and bigotry. And the real problem is the prejudice that exists in all our hearts that's been passed down generation to generation. And, you know, it's all about breaking the cycle. I think that George Zimmerman's not an evil guy at heart. I think he's a loser. I think he's had a lot of emotional problems. I think he, you know, when you look at his MySpace postings and see him boasting how he beat the rap for assaulting that lady cop years ago. But I do think that, you know, he's indicative of a larger problem in society.
Yep.
And the way young black men are regarded here, I give the president a lot of props. I really love the speech. I don't know what Tavis is talking about. I love Tavis. I don't know what he's talking about this time.
I know.
Because those comments the president made were right on.
Yeah.
And it's tribalism more than racism.
I thought so, too. Brett in Arkansas, you're on with John. Hey, Brett.
Hey, good morning.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Yep, go ahead.
Uh, while ago, and of course I've heard the comments before, and I've called in a lot. I think you know that even though I'm a conservative, I believe that everybody deserves a fair shot. Everybody deserves the same rights. I'm not a prejudiced person. I think you know that from the tone of my calls in here.
Right.
But one thing that bothers me is I keep hearing a lot of people talk about George Zimmerman's criminal past. And my question would be, is that afforded to everyone in this country? Because you've had problems with the law in the past, does that mean you're no longer capable of having a good, productive life afterwards? And that would be my question.
No.
Absolutely.
Or you're also, entitled to shoot an unarmed teenager and get away with it.
I mean, when a fella's called the police, when the fella's called the police 46 times, okay, in a span of about 2 years, he called 911 46 times, once over a group of black men working on their car in a front yard, once on some children. I think that a person's past behavior is relevant when there's a murder trial, don't you think, sir?
Yeah, and I think that if it progresses, he's going to be one of those people, John, that, you know, calls 911 for beer and cigarettes.
Oh, it's the opposite now. It's got to be.
It's like, George, for God's sake, stop calling 911.
Calls 911 for directions.
You can imagine how hard it is. This guy, now the rest of his life, he has to think twice before he gets to call 911 when he sees a law-abiding black person in a neighborhood. It's torture for him. He can't do it.
Exactly. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, more Tuesdays with Tugelsang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Why don't they do what they say? Say what they mean. One thing leads to another. Tell me something wrong. I know I listen to love. One thing leads to another. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour, John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau joins us because he could not join us on Friday.
I know. I missed you guys. Sorry about that.
I missed you, too. You can see
I had a funeral.
I'm sorry. You can see John Fugelsang, by the way, every night here on the current television network hosting Viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And spectacularly.
Indeed.
Might I
yes,
just say.
Yes, I believe our friend our friend Melissa Fitzgerald will be joining us this week on the show.
Oh, awesome. Oh, that's right. She's going to be in New York. Yay.
Yeah.
Yay. Too much beauty all in one spot.
Oh,
both of you.
Getting
there
all
might
the riffraff together.
There might be a Tesla coil will explode or something. Rolf in Ohio. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John. Hi, Rolf.
Hello. How are you guys?
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. By the way, really enjoy the show. And, John, I think you are very funny and all that. I have to stop.
And a bag of chips.
As a liberal who agrees with everything, usually, that you say and do, I have to say the Zimmerman verdict really was the right verdict. It's difficult for me to say that, but it is. I'm biased, by the way. I think I'm a criminal defense attorney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but there's absolutely no way. The way I see it is this: I think Zimmerman may have created the problem, but the problem that a lot of progressives and liberals have right now is we're making assumptions about what happened that were not established in court. Nobody actually proved what happened, and the whole point behind a jury trial is to protect the defendant, even if the defendant isn't always the kind of guy you want to protect.
What do you mean by have been responsible for it, though? I mean, how is he not responsible for it? If he'd stayed in the car and listened to law enforcement dispatch, then we wouldn't be talking about this.
Okay, well, you're talking to somebody who has I have so lost so much respect for law enforcement over the last 20 years, not individual officers, a lot of great officers out there. But let's face it, following someone until it gets to the point of stalking, and it's not that. He didn't break the law by following him. He didn't break the law by, quote-unquote, profiling him.
Never said he did.
It's not against the law. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yes, it was the shooting him and killing him that technically should be against the law.
We don't,
I mean, Rolf, do you feel like a lot of other defense attorneys I've talked to that thinks this could be an O.J. outcome and that he could be held civilly responsible? Because he certainly, as John pointed out, he is responsible. You know, I get that he was acquitted of murder in a jury trial, but what do you think would happen in a civil trial?
I don't know. I do like 99% criminal defense work, but sure, I think there'd be a civil case. But practically speaking, well, I don't know. A lot of the right wingers are sending him. I don't know. Are they still sending him money?
Probably.
He might be one of those. He might be one of those judgment proof people.
Rolf, would you agree? Would yep. you agree that to ensure his acquittal, the defense had to put the dead kid on trial?
No.
Well, you would not agree with that.
Well, I don't think you have to put the kid on trial. I think, because I've always found that it's counterproductive to, you know, blame the victim. Because, I mean, I've represented some pretty unappealing people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, do you agree with which defense attorney was it that said Trayvon Martin was responsible for his own death?
I wouldn't have argued that. I mean, although it worked, obviously, but I wouldn't have argued that. I don't like blaming the victim because I think it hurts. But
would you agree, Ralph, that even the... Oh, go ahead, please.
No, we're making a lot of assumptions, and that's the problem. And I understand that Trayvon Martin's not alive to testify about what happened. I understand that. But let's face it, we don't know. For example, it's certainly possible that he could have seen this kid. He doesn't know the kid, so he's following to see what's going on. Didn't approach the kid. The kid turned around, saw him, may have thought it's some guy stalking him because he's gay. You know, I mean, you probably heard that thing. Maybe.
On Rush Limbaugh, yes, I heard that. Right.
Right. The point is, we don't know that Trayvon Martin didn't, you know, wait around the corner and then jump on him for whatever reason. I mean, I know it sounds, you'd say, well, that's crazy, but what reason did Zimmerman have to attack him?
Let me ask you, do you think that the prosecution could have said that Trayvon Martin had a right to stand his ground?
See, but they didn't argue stand your ground. I mean,
well, I know, but the judge in the jury instructions, that's right. The judge clearly laid it out, even though they hadn't made that the defense. Stand your ground was all over this case.
Mm-hmm. Probably should have been. But again, it's all about, well, it depends on the standard. I'm an Ohio and West Virginia lawyer. I'm not a Florida lawyer. So this whole stand your ground seems absolutely crazy to me. We've got self-defense up here. And
yes, we've always had self-defense, as Sarah Colbert said, right.
It's going to make a lot of headaches for law enforcement. And you know what? I think it's going to be a lot of dead kids and a lot of civil suits before states start repealing stand your ground.
You have a right to stand your ground if there is no safe retreat possible.
Well, that,
no,
I was just
and,
going to
and
say.
Not stand your
exactly.
ground.
Exactly.
Right.
If Zimmerman had said, I have a weapon, this wouldn't have happened. Zimmerman could have acknowledged he had a weapon, and even that's another act of aggression on his part.
Right. He didn't identify himself as a neighborhood watch person. Nothing. I mean, and that's
because
what
he wasn't,
Jim just
Seth.
Said.
He was not a neighborhood watch person.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like it is setting people up to not find a way to retreat.
Yeah.
Right?
Identified Trayvon as an effing punk or some other.
Well, no, he said something else.
Yeah. Blake Hole. Right. Let's go to Joe in Chicago. You're on with John. Hi, Joe.
Hello, I'll try not to mess this up. I have a question, and my question is, if I'm in a confrontation like Zimmerman and Martin, in your opinion, at what point do I get to protect myself?
Oh, God.
Okay, I mean, Joe, we're going back over the same ground. When Mark O'Mara stands up after this verdict and said, well, it's too bad Trayvon's dead, but my client was not responsible, do you really think the guy that shot him through the heart is not in any way responsible for his death?
Okay, actually, I'm talking about me or you if we're in the same position.
Of course you can defend yourself. Who's saying you? Who has ever
no
said
one has
you can't defend
denied.
Yourself?
But at what
point, though? I mean, you made a comment earlier about a fractured skull and a swollen brain. You don't want me to get to that point, do you? I mean, at what point?
No, of course not.
No, but I'm assuming you're not going to start a fight with someone who wasn't bothering
right.
you or anybody
George
else, right?
George Zimmerman created this situation right. with a kid that was walking home with candy trying to get home. He created the entire situation.
You, sir, are too much of a man to do something like that, correct? You're
right.
not going to go instigate something through your own acts of aggression, ignoring law enforcement dispatch and violating the rules of Neighborhood Watch. Right?
That was too many.
The point is, he didn't have a fractured skull. He had very superficial wounds, and they're all... Yeah, never mind.
All right. All right. Let's move on. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with John Fugelsang.
It's like black kids getting shot. What do you want?
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
So did your girl say
Stephanie Miller
was hot and slutty too?
She didn't say, but hot sluts hang out together.
Excellent.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. This was the, John, you probably dealt with the same right-wing talking points about blah, blah, blah. What about this time that one guy, black guy, did a bad thing? Remember that? Which has, of course, absolutely nothing to do with it.
Why aren't you going to say something about this black guy that was arrested on the spot who did something horrible to a white person?
Right.
Like, the point of the Trayvon Martin story is that there was a trial, that there was an arrest. We wouldn't be talking about this if the cops had arrested the guy on the spot. We'd never have heard of Trayvon Martin.
But this one story, and again, you know, who knows what the evidence is going to end up showing here, but Julie sends me the latest, Mama, the latest on the unraveling of your right-wing Love Muffin caller's latest favorite meme, that black kids like Trayvon shot a baby. It's looking like a Susan Smith type of story, perhaps. Yeah. This was the latest out of a... Let's see. Brunswick, Georgia, the father and mother of Antonio Santiago, the 13-month-old baby who was fatally shot in Brunswick, Georgia by two teens in March, allegedly had they both had gunshot residue on them the day their son was killed. While the fact that Sherry West, the baby's mother, was also shot during her son's killing could explain why residue was found on her, it was unclear how or why the baby's father, Louis Santiago, would have been exposed to gunshot residue. Louis Santiago is currently in jail on charges of aggravated stalking her, the baby's mother, in violation of police orders. West has always maintained that she was walking her baby by herself when two teens tried to rob her at gunpoint. The teens allegedly shot her in the leg and the baby in the head. Both are behind bars on charges of murder and scheduled to stand trial next month. But, you know, developing, as you would say.
I think gunpowder residue.
Right.
But even if it was completely true, even if it was two black teens who shot this child violently and tragically, what has that got to do with what happened in Florida?
Exactly.
It's like, you know what, if you're going to throw that argument, hey, Hitler was a white guy and he killed 6 million, so white people are the real problem. There's no difference in arguments about it. It's like people are so committed to demonizing Trayvon Martin in his death to make them feel better about this guy shooting him. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take a lot more of this before these people wise up.
You know,
get your ass kicked in a fight and then kill the guy. That's the morality we're dealing with.
Yeah, Steve in L.A., you're on with John. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, so I used to be a criminal defense attorney as a background, but, you know, I'm a big progressive as well. And I just was kind of musing at that other guy before. You know, the problem with this case, if you want to look at it legally, is that prosecutors do a lousy job. I mean, that's bottom line. They do a really lousy job. And often, you know, judges are former prosecutors. In a city like that, you know, it's similar here in L.A., there's not a whole lot of sympathy for things. So prosecutors go through their day kind of just punching the card like those two dogs in the cartoon, you know, the sheep and the wolf in the cartoon.
Steve, that was the other thing. Because he had Zimmerman had the luck to become the Fox News poster boy for some reason, you know, he got a great attorney for free that worked pro bono, right?
Well, but here's the thing. You know, so a good criminal defense attorney goes into this case. If I was my 20-year-ago, you know, young, full of you-know-what and vinegar attorney, I would have gone in and I would have been challenging, I wouldn't have in this case, but if I was the prosecutor, I would have gone in as the defense attorney I was with that same attitude, and I would have been filing motions to challenge this stand your ground law and many different grounds, and I would have fought them up to the appellate courts before there ever was a trial. And I would have done that in many different ways. I would have looked at it from the point of view, you know, I would have MacGyvered this case. What prosecutors would tend to do is just walk in and say, well, this is the tools they gave me, so, you know, what can I do? And that's the difference. They don't recognize the need to say, you know, this is just obviously wrong. Why does it cause radio shows to talk about it for 6 months afterwards if there's nothing wrong with this law, there's nothing wrong with the situation?
And I also think, you know, John, that it starts with the police, obviously. You know, I mean, yeah, the prosecution didn't do a great job, but, you know, the police botched the investigation, obviously.
Well, let's not forget, this guy's father was a magistrate, and that played a role in how he got off on the assault charge on the lady cop when he was 20. So it's like, you know, this is just how the world runs. And again, I think that people have to me, and not everyone's going to like this, but the real story here was that there was no arrest of Zimmerman, no trial. And it took a few African-American radio stations and some blogs and eventually liberals and conservatives of conscience, and then the mainstream media caught up and said, how can this happen? To me, the real victory here was that there was an arrest and there was a trial. The rest is epilogue. And the fact is, these Fox News guys, just remember, and all these...
Sorry, Mark O'Mara just came up on TV while you were talking.
Yeah. They're defending a guy who lied under oath, okay? Like, you don't get to say Bill Clinton deserved to be impeached, and then support George Zimmerman, who had his bail revoked for lying under oath, you right-wing gasbags.
Right, yeah, and then they take his word on every detail of what happened at the crime scene.
Well, he killed a black
kid.
He's one of us, of course.
Yeah, Trooper in Austin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John. Hi, Trooper.
Hi. Yeah, I think the jury was rigged, but... The thing that they could have really stuck on him was the fact that Zimmerman set the kid up by not telling him he was neighborhood watch.
That's
and
right.
Not telling him that he had access to a gun. He set the kid up.
He set him up.
Yeah, that's a good point. I haven't heard anybody put it that way, John. That's actually a really good point.
He had so many acts of aggression. Calling the cops on someone who was law-abiding citizen, bothering no one was an act of aggression. Leaving the vehicle after the dispatch told him not to and pursuing the guy, violating every neighborhood watch rule, and then not telling Trayvon Martin he was armed. All of these were acts of aggression on his part.
Yep. Let's go to Justin in Huntington Beach. You're on with John. Hi, Justin. Welcome.
Hey, guys. What's happening? I just wanted to point out another thing about the Stand Your Ground law in Florida that's so egregious. And I got to thank, or actually Zod needs to thank Tom Schaefer in the chat room for it. You know, the way the law is written, George Zimmerman cannot be sued in civil court for wrongful death.
That's written right
into the bill.
Yeah.
And you know what? Since Alec wrote that bill, I'm sure it follows wherever Alec wrote the bill.
Oh.
So not only can you shoot these people, now you cannot be sued in civil court for wrongful death.
Wow.
Which makes
you know what? Then it's
really,
going to take
really
people having... People have to file civil suits against Alec for enabling their loved ones' deaths. And it's going to happen. You're going to see this done more and more and more. More yahoos are going to take the law into their own hands and be these vigilantes.
Everybody said green light for racist vigilantes. I mean, I love
somebody. Wait till black folks start doing it too, though. Wait until you see African Americans start defending themselves. Then
by the way, we had
Fox News saying we got to revisit standing your law.
We had a caller this morning blame black parenting for what happened there.
Because that's what Bill O'Reilly is saying last night.
All white parents are perfect.
Oh
look, here's a story about Lindsay Lohan's mom. Dina Lohan drunk dialed Lindsay during her therapy session. Dina Lohan has reportedly been banned from participating in her daughter's rehab treatment after an alleged drunken phone. She drunk dialed her own daughter.
Oh, God.
Someone at the rehab facility in Malibu arranged for the mom to have a conversation with Lindsay during a therapy session on the day of the conversation. Another person from the clinic believed that Dina was allegedly drunk and nixed the call.
And Pete says no.
Okay. All right, this just because I feel that I must. Miley Cyrus to Justin Bieber, stop being stupid. You're stupid. I'm not stupid. You're stupid. She told him to stop being stupid and take a break from music following his recent antics, which I believe John included peeing in a mop bucket in a restaurant.
No, it's not just that. What this kid did was so obnoxious and so rude, and how the media covered it was even worse than what he did. Because, honestly, if you're still defending Justin Bieber, you're what I call an underachiever. the fact is that what this guy did was he was in this restaurant with his little sycophantic suck-ups. He urinated in a yellow custodial bucket, okay?
Right.
And as he's running out, he grabs some cleaner, because this is a place where food is prepared, and sprayed a picture of Bill Clinton saying, F you, Bill Clinton. So, you know, this guy's a waste of donor organs. I'm sorry. I mean, I can handle the lip-syncing, I can handle the auto-tune, but I'm done with Bieber. So then the media reports that he called Bill Clinton, because he gets Bill Clinton's number. Al Gore can't call Bill Clinton. And Clinton said, everything's okay, bro, we're cool. And all the media talks about is how the celebrities handle it and how the celebrities relate to each other. And no one talked about the fact that there's a guy somewhere who had to clean Justin Bieber pee to do his job and feed his family. And this guy Bieber needs to show up at that restaurant, apologize to the entire staff and the management and the owners, and he hasn't done it. And it's pathetic. I did a ferocious smackdown to the kid because
you did. That was really good.
It was, it's just, this is the celebrity culture that we're addicted to, and I get all that.
Yep.
But, I mean, honestly, it just shows how ugly it is. And Justin Bieber, he sucks. I'm sorry.
Be prepared to get the wrath of the Bleebers later today.
He could perform unsterilized rectal surgery on puppies while clubbing baby seals, and the Bleebers would defend him.
Wow. All right, my final celebrity fact, Tina Turner got married, y'all.
She did.
Yeah.
Listen, if she can do it again after her first one, you know what I'm saying? Then there's hope for...
You?
Oh, what? Well, not me, but okay. Tina Turner's obviously no hope for me. Tina Turner became Mrs. Erwin Bach during a massive wedding in Switzerland. Yep. She wore green.
Wow.
How about that?
That's awesome. Now she can get back on the road and tour again.
Yeah, she's awesome. 73. She's been shacking up with her 57-year-old
lover.
Oh, my God.
For the
God,
past 27 old? Years.
Wow, she's a cradle robber.
Right. Huh. 120 people were at the ceremony, including Oprah, David Bowie, and Bryan Adams.
Hmm.
How about that?
Bryan Adams? Like
right.
Wow. David Bowie and Bryan Adams are at the same event.
Right. There's a
I didn't
joke
know
there
Bryan
somewhere.
Adams was still around.
Yes. No All right. Anyway, good for her. Good for her.
Very nice.
That's what love's got to do with it. That. Married her boy toy, finally. Okay.
Boy toy. 57-year-old boy toy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Compared
well, somewhere
to her.
In hell, Ike Turner's abusing women, so he's happy too.
Marvin in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John. Go ahead.
Yeah, Steph. I used to go to clubs at Tina. Sang at me, St. Louis.
Cool.
But that's not what I called about. I'm an old Vietnam vet, and I believe in the Second Amendment. I got shotguns, I got a pistol hanging here on my bed, a shotgun in the bedroom. But I would never carry them out on the street. Why people think they need a weapon out on the street, then if you got the right to carry and stand your ground, then I guess I should have the right to carry my shotgun to the barber shop this morning. I mean,
yeah.
To me it seems like we're really getting out of control here on this weapon.
Well, exactly. Deal. You're creating the Wild West again, John. It's like then everyone has a right to carry a gun and stand your ground and, you know, let's just have good old-fashioned shootouts every day on the street.
It didn't work out so well at Tombstone, and they prohibited people from carrying their guns into town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, and again, I have it on good authority that all of our European and Japanese and Australian friends have the same violent video games
yep.
and the same violent movies we have, but they don't have the murder rates because they have sane gun laws for grown-ups. No one's trying to take away your toys, Skeeter. And that's all it is. It's entertainment. It's not your Second Amendment rights at this point. When you have an AK-47, it's not about defending your family. It's about your entertainment.
Yep. 46 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments with John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I get it because the micro-personal comedy Jesus is here. John Fugelsang.
Yes, my child.
In the New York Bureau. Wow. By the way, so we were saying this obviously has gotten so emotional, this whole the Zimmerman verdict and the Trayvon stuff. And I don't know if you've gotten, John, the same right-wing emails I have, but one of them is supposed to be from this baby that was shot allegedly by the two black teens.
Yeah.
In Georgia, like, oh, you know, hi, I'm whatever. The president doesn't care about me, and he never mentioned me, and blah, blah.
On.
I was shot in the face by two black kids, blah, 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 blah. I mean, this is what happens when, you know, people just try to use stuff that have nothing to do with another case.
The ugliness of a majority playing victim.
But listen to this. I don't know, again, what the truth is and whether, you know, these kids are in jail. There's going to be a trial. But as I just reported earlier...
That's the difference.
This one on CBS. 4 months ago, the horrific shooting death of baby Antonio Santiago in Georgia had the subsequent arrest of two teen suspects made national headlines. Now there's news that the hands of both the mother and the father of the murdered baby have tested positive for gunpowder residue. This part I had not read. Her own daughter says she doubts her mother's story. Her 21-year-old daughter, Ashley, said she doesn't want to wrongly accuse her mother but began having serious doubts about the version she has told police about the murder robbery. Shortly after the tragedy, Glassley is her name, who lives in New Jersey, claimed her mother may have killed the baby for insurance money. She said she started to question her mother's account of what happened when she began giving conflicting stories. She was taken away from her mother when she was 8, claimed she has forgiven Wes and started communicating regularly with her after the tragedy. She said it was during one of those conversations that her mother asked her about the insurance money soon after the baby was killed.
Wow.
Her mood swings were odd. Her daughter said sometimes she would cry and other times act like nothing tragic had happened. West's stories also seemed to change. Her daughter said she changed her story. She told me the baby was shot first, and then she told me she was shot first. She added that she's contacted the police, but no one's called her back. Glassley also claimed her mother had mental problems and suffered from schizophrenia as well as being bipolar. So, you know, and interesting. Again, you can, you know, John, cast your own aspersions about Georgia and whether this is racism or not. The defense lawyer for the kids claimed, obviously, his client is innocent, adding it was absurd to believe that young men would shoot and rob someone who had nothing. Again, so Susan, people are starting to make the Susan Smith analogy. Mm-hmm. Is this another case?
Well, but here's the thing. Even if every word of their story is true, these suspects are in custody, right?
Right. Well, but again,
they were arrested,
goes,
right?
this is a white woman's, you know, story kids shot my baby. And
but even if she's telling the complete truth and
right.
these kids did it,
right.
they're in custody. They were arrested right away. That's how it's different from the Trayvon Martin case, where this guy got to walk around for 6 weeks until America grew a pair and demanded justice. So it's not even worth comparing. Crimes happen every day. Horrible murders happen every day. Don't go using this to make the white people or the victim card. It's grotesque, and nothing's uglier than a majority playing victim and martyr.
Yep, exactly. By the way, have you seen this story out here, Tim? It's a Squeezy McFeel Pants story.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor Bob Filner.
Yes.
Apparently, getting a woman in a headlock is a new romantic technique.
Uh-huh.
Aha. Okay.
I've been told.
Yeah. Bob Packwood taught me that.
The former top spokeswoman for Mayor Bob Filner sued him and the city for sexual harassment, alleging he repeatedly made unwanted sexual advances toward her and put her in a headlock on several occasions. And also said things to her
Chicks
like,
dig that.
Wouldn't it be great if you took off your panties and worked without them on?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Steph.
You don't ask me that because you know I go commando.
You go commando every day.
There's no need to ask me.
Commanda.
Commanda.
Exactly.
All right. Exactly. Yeah, but you don't wear skirts, so it doesn't matter.
Don't remind me, Chris.
Don in California, you're on with John. Hello, Don.
Morning, gang. Just wanted to mention one thing that could change the conversation on this a lot, and that is what happens if Trayvon Martin is a girl and moron comes up and starts accosting her and she defends herself. Does that give him a right to shoot her?
Hmm.
Well,
thanks to Alec, we'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to...
That's
the thing.
Hypothetical land there,
exactly.
So it's hard to... Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephanie wore a skirt.
Yes, go ahead.
You wore a skirt on stage at the Pantages last summer.
I did. I gave
for
everyone.
For the record. That's true.
Oh, I remember that because I was sitting in the audience.
That was amazing. When she crawled back on stage, the audience could see all the way to Miami.
Yeah, I saw your cooter.
Diane in Chicago. Well, there goes my dignity. All right.
There goes
hi. Before now.
That ship has sailed.
This was like four generations of my family went to the Trayvon Martin rally in Chicago, and it was very peaceful and everything. And then the third generation that goes to Boston College said, Grandma, we should have to be doing this now, you know. And the sad thing about it, when you look at Trayvon, he could have been trying to protect the little girl that was at home. He didn't know what this Creed Zimmerman was, you know, and he didn't want to bring him to his house. So people are speculating about...
Well, like his mother said, you know, he was a child, you know, and whether he, you know, was afraid and trying to act like a man or whatever his version is, I mean, he was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
He was a 17-year-old boy, and we know how ridiculous 17-year-old boys are with the macho crap.
Yeah, exactly. By the way.
What?
This one, do you have a horse?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Huh?
You still hear this story every day. Woman takes a horse into McDonald's after being denied drive-thru service.
Ah.
After being denied service by a drive-thru employee, a McDonald's customer attempted to place an order while on horseback, decided to try her luck inside the restaurant instead.
Oh my God! And they're breaking out of Abu Ghraib.
They are.
Yes. And the woman's horse did leave a form of protest of his own on the road.
That's great. Try new McRoad apples.
All right.
Yeah, take that, England. We have stories like this with your little royal baby.
By the way, tell that story real quickly, the Al-Qaeda in Iraq.
A bunch of really seasoned, hardened criminals that were kept in Abu Ghraib are busting out of Abu Ghraib prison.
Well, at least 500 of them, or so we're told,
wow.
And it was a coordinated attack, and that's the concerned thing. It was a well-planned, well-executed attack on Abu Ghraib,
And it's Al-Qaeda's worst people.
And it's Al-Qaeda. Well, you know, we have to assume some of them are. I would imagine if it's Abu Ghraib, a lot of them are people who were sent in there because their enemies ratted them out.
Yep.
But if you're a right-wing American who demanded we invade Iraq and defended Bush after the torture, you don't get to complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, John Finkelstein.
I love you, Fox. Thank you. See you Friday.
See you Friday. Oh, good. Yes. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.